This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
So Elle Tompkins and Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute say they've both covered hate groups, and they've offered some advice for journalists, and they shared their thoughts in a piece posted Saturday, just hours after what happened in Virginia. One thing they say is precision is critical when you're reporting on hate groups. Be wary of subjective adjectives and unclear labels like far right or alt right. Instead, describe what protesters were doing, what they were saying, and what they're demanding. They also suggest avoiding labels like Unite the Right, which demonstrators use to describe their protest. They say that's too broad. There are plenty of people on the right politically, conservatives, who are not involved with the hate movement, and that just seems like too broad of a term. And so I thought today perhaps we could talk about some of the tips that they offered and what you think about them.
Yeah, well, this definitely harkens back to any time we see something remotely like this, we've discussed how words are very critical. Words really matter. And that's all I've seen talked about in the last few days has been words matter. Who were these people? Not necessarily how they're labeling themselves, but what were they doing? A lot of the times they were calling themselves white nationalists, but that's really not even an accurate term because white is not a nation, first of all, and Nazism is not even an American idea. Marxism is not an American idea. So they were trying to say that they were all for, American ideals and that kind of thing, but it really, that does not describe who or what they were doing there.
I think it's important to note that when we see something like this, we're at first a human, but we're also reporters, obviously, but we have to check ourselves. We see something like this and we know that this is something that we know is not right or wrong, and so we subconsciously resort to terminology and things that we might talk about and discuss among other reporters or our friends and things. But we must just be careful to make sure that we're using something that's clear, concise, direct, and not refer to maybe what might be some popular terms, because it's so easy to do that, and we have to be conscious of the exact words that we use.
Yeah.
Well, labels are very easy. It's an easy shortcut, but it sometimes is not accurate to use a label.
Yeah, and you see that where people get caught up in these labels that don't even accurately describe who these groups are, who these people are. And you really need to, step away from that as a journalist and not just use crutch words, because those really become just crutch words.
Yeah, and those words are ones that you have to have a discussion, I think. You have to have a conversation with your editors and with other reporters or maybe other folks who would have some feedback to that, to maybe give some insight about what would be not politically correct, but what would be accurate and what would be descriptive. Because after all, this industry and what we're trying to do is to try to find the best possible word and the best possible way to report what had happened at places like Charlottesville.
Yeah, one thing we do when we cover protests around here is, for example, a couple years ago when there were demonstrations trying to convince the state and the legislature to get a budget passed, is you describe what is on some of the signs protesters are carrying. So you give an idea of what the message is that they're trying to convey without trying to label the protesters as being one thing or another.
Yeah, and then the people who come out to protest that main group, right? There are multiple different ways to describe those people, and you really want to be careful that you are doing them accuracy. You're doing them justice to what they're actually protesting.
You mentioned the counter-protesters, and that's mm-hmm. how they've been referred to, is counter-protesters. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is a good term to use?
Seems for at the moment it does. It's countering this protest of what's going on until a better word comes along, I suppose. But I don't think there's any confusion about what they were doing by using those kind of words to describe them.
Yeah, I think it's fairly neutral.
And counter-protester, this seems like a group of people. This was not a particular organization that was doing the counter demonstration. It was people who came out to counter protest.
Yeah, people on their own volition who had heard about what was happening in their community This is a a community that has been a lot of communities like this that have some Civil War statues, like the Robert E. Lee statue in this park, where slowly the times are changing to the point to where we saw Confederate flags being lowered. Maybe this is going to be the next step. And of course, you've got folks that are still hard in their or pressed in their own ways and don't want to see that kind of change for the sake of their heritage or something even worse, something as worse as racism.
Well, Tompkins and McBride point out that USA Today reported there were at least 1,000 Confederate statues and memorials around the country. And so they conclude their piece by saying, as cities and states attempt to remove them, and they will, expect this topic to blow up again and again.
Yeah, journalists really need to get prepared because these are things that we've seen before and we're going to continue seeing. And it's something to really be aware of. Language is so important.
So what would the two of you as instructors overseeing student reporters, what sort of advice would you give them as they head out to cover a protest of this nature or any nature that might arise on a college campus?
I would say that we try to approach this as, of course, as all journalists should, as neutral as possible. Report what's actually happening. Don't be afraid to report what you see. But the words that are used, make sure that they are neutral and that the words, though, that others folks that you interview or that you observe and what they use, make sure that you represent them and quote them in their own words as well. But make sure that your own words and your own reporting is not buzzwords or filled words that are particularly controversial. Make sure it's very neutral, but yet specific at the same time. And that's a challenge that we have.
Yeah, it's very hard to be objective in this line of work. It is. I mean, we all have feelings about things, but people expect us to bring objectivity to the stories. So be very mindful of how you're feeling about whatever you're covering, but make sure you're also be safe. Be aware of your surroundings, because more and more we're going to these types of scenes that can be very dangerous for any reporters. And we need to be aware of our surroundings and make sure that we are putting ourselves, safety first.
Right. And well, and speaking to safety, I could add that I had some coworkers who covered 3 years ago the Michael Brown demonstrations across the river over into Ferguson. And it got to the point to where it had been pretty well covered, but we had editors that would say, look, for the sake of your safety, why not let's be careful and to the point of not even covering it to the point to where we're on the periphery. Let's make sure we're covering it from a safe distance. So there's definitely that consideration as well when we're taking on something that's volatile as this.
Yeah, and be aware of your resources as a journalist. There are other people who can have your back. I mean, I don't think you should go by yourself to these kinds of protests or these kinds of events. You should always bring someone with you. And that's what's really nice, I guess, in broadcast journalism. Sometimes you have a photographer there with you, and you should demand one if not. In terms of Ferguson, I don't know if a lot of journalists were there by themselves. A lot of people were placed out there in groups or with a photog. Some had actual armed guards, I believe, with them. And that kind of thing has happened. But you do have to really think about safety as a priority.
We need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.